Well, guys, I want to introduce you to one of my other favorite boss girls, and this is Dr. Amal Obaid from Huntington Memorial Hospital, and she's one of our amazing trauma surgeons. She's the director of trauma services here. So, Amal, what are your tips? You're definitely someone who struggled in the same environment as I have in terms of becoming a surgeon and having to balance things, and you have two kids. What are your tips for motherhood and medicine?
First of all, thank you, Kay. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it. You absolutely can do it. Women by nature are more caring and nurturing, and I think that makes us exceptional surgeons. We all have the same genetic makeup and ability to be intelligent, but the heart is what sets a female surgeon aside. And having sort of your eye on the prize, knowing that you may face more bumps in the road than some of your male colleagues, should not deter you. The end of the road is beautiful. Being in practice for 13 years, I can't imagine having done anything different from what I'm doing. And the feedback that I get from my patients is the ultimate gift and reward. And I just think that, you know, seeing more female surgeons should inspire our young girls out there to know that it is possible. It's very possible, very doable, and a very gratifying and satisfying field.
I fully agree. It is definitely doable. There are still so many struggles, and you work with residents who are general surgery residents, many of them women in training. And what do you think the major hurdles are that we, who are sort of leaders for the new young women surgeons training, what are the hurdles that we have to warn them of, and any tips of advice of surviving residency and when to time your kids?
I think the biggest or the best advice I can give a female surgeon is they're a little bit more under the microscope for the way that they behave in public and around their attending surgeons and around their peers. Male surgeons are allowed to make certain jokes or gestures, and nobody really thinks twice about those, whereas the standard is definitely higher for us female surgeons. We're expected to be prim and proper, quiet, not complain, not stand up for ourselves, etc. And we really have to almost be better than our male colleagues to be even recognized. So I would say keep in mind that you are under a microscope. Be careful, be professional, be kind. Definitely remember this is a work environment, and don't overstep your bounds, because the audience is very unforgiving for women especially.
So unfair, those men. This is, of course, a stereotype, but men surgery residents, they sleep around. They like go around with every nurse on every floor. And if you're a woman and you do that with the male nurses, God help you. And if you're going to a Christmas staff party or whatever, don't get wasted and don't, like, you know, do stuff in public that you wouldn't want posted on your public Facebook page, because it stays in everyone's memory. But also in terms of just having kids, like, you really do get scrutinized, because unfortunately you do leave the team for a little while you're in, going to your pregnancy visits, office visits, during, of course, the maternity leave. So everybody's sort of mildly resentful that you've left the team and there's a burden of extra duties that they have. And that's just how life is. If you had a male colleague who had their appendix out, you would have a little burden too. So I didn't feel too guilty about it. And I just really built strong relationships with my fellow male residents, who were really great guys. And everybody was really okay with covering for one another, as it should be. Like, we're in this field to help each other. And we don't want any woman to lose out on the experience of the beauty of that newborn bonding and stuff like that. So just kind of think of timing. If you can time your pregnancies so that you're not going to impact the team, so everyone else is dying because there's missing a team member, that's ideal. Like, I did mine during my research year. Were you pregnant in residency?
Yeah, so I was pregnant with my first child during my chief year and my second child during my fellowship year. Yeah. So what I did is I took the very minimum time off, which was 6 weeks, which was my allowed time off. I didn't request any further time. What I did strategically is I lived literally walking distance from the hospital. So my child was brought to me every day for breastfeeding for about 30 minutes. So I didn't miss out on the bonding. Having family support, having husband support is crucial. So ladies, pick your husbands carefully. It makes all the difference in the world to have a really supportive husband who will put the baby on their back and mm-hmm. come to you. I remember many times the babies coming to me just for dinner. Mm-hmm. So I'd be on a 24-hour call and not come home until 1 or 2 p.m. the following day. So rather than not see the family or the children for 36 hours, I would have dinner with them. So you learn to be creative. I have absolutely zero regrets. I was fortunate in that because when I was there, I did a good job. I actually didn't feel any resentment from my fellow chief residents or from my fellows. Mm-hmm. And my attendings respected me and they saw that I wasn't literally having a child so that I can get 6 weeks off, but having a child because I wanted a family, and it's a really natural part of what we do. And so being a surgeon doesn't exclude you from being a mom, and it doesn't exclude you from being a wonderful mom. I'm very happy with my relationship with my boys. They're now 13 and 14 years old, and I don't feel that they suffered as a result of my career choice.
Yeah, I want to emphasize that, like, don't wait to have kids. If you know that you want a family, plan it when you have your best fertility, and the timing really does matter, but also just do it. Like, even if it's your first year internship, whenever it is, you just have to structure some support. And if you have the ability to say, okay, I want to get pregnant in my chief year when I'm more of a leader of a team versus one of the main workers as an intern. It's harder when you're an intern. It's easier if you're on a research year or on a chief year, but there's also a lot of responsibility every year. So you can't really time it too much. You just need to, like, get pregnant because you know it needs to happen, and then just go with the flow and you'll figure it out and you'll get some help, and you better have a good partner, husband or not, whatever it is, whoever's the baby daddy, they better be good. And I really like your idea of just kind of multitasking and integrating it with your day. Like, I used to take that breast pump everywhere. I'd pump on the way to work. I had twins, so I had to pump a lot of milk, right? And I pumped for almost a year, which is recommended now for every woman to pump for a year because it's best for baby, best for breast health. And I would pump driving, I'd, in between cases, dictating my op reports, hide in the call room and pump. And, you know, God help, there was one day that some stupid resident kicked over my breast milk bag and I was like crying because that was liquid gold. I was so upset with him because I was like harvesting that good nutrition for the babies. But just remember, there's no best time. So if you want to have a family, just do it, right? Am I right?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Kay. It's such a rewarding part of life, having that balance. You know, you're a human being, and there's something that the children, some gratification they will give you that is unparalleled. But then having that gratification at work just really makes you a more happy individual.
Yeah. And there'll be a lot of asshole men, and sorry, men, I just have to generalize men who are listening. But there'll be so many asshole men in your life who just make you feel like you're less of a person because you took time off for maternity leave, or you're not as good of a surgeon, or like you're a girl in this man's field, and you have to ignore them and just like be the girl, be the boss girl, be feminine, be pregnant, just be who you are and make them understand that the face of medicine is not male. It's changing, and we don't have to dress like men, act like men, and be like men. We're not men. We have to bring our strengths to this field, and that is the ability to nurture, multitask, and have kids and still be a really productive member of society. And I totally agree with you. Kids grow up fine if you just give them enough of your love, warmth, and nurturing and contact, right?
Yes. Yeah, like those
36-hour call shifts, and then you get home and there's no time to spend with them. But I would just put the baby in bed and sleep with the baby in bed. Like, that body contact meant something. And not everybody agrees with, you know, co-sleeping, but I loved that because I think that was my 6 hours that I got to, like, really skin contact, bonding, and warmth and maternal instincts. So that was one of my tips.
Couldn't agree more, Kay. There are 1,000 ways to raise children. You have to figure out what's best for your child. But I definitely think even 30 minutes in between cases or whatever it may be, it makes a difference. Children have this amazing resilience. They will grow up just fine. But any little contact, I think, is huge. My boys still hug and kiss me to this day.
I was gonna stop shortly.
After about 15, stop. Get ready.
They still like mom at this point, but who knows what the future holds.
And the same goes for just like romantic relationships. Like you can't put your life on hold because you're a resident or you're working really hard in your training process. Like get that person who's going to come and hang with you in the call room and bring you dinner when you're working so hard, and like find the time. Like it's these moments that matter. So thanks so much for tuning in to listening to Dr. Obaid. And she's just an amazing trauma surgeon. And let me tell you, this hospital is like 80 years of like old white men running the place. It's so refreshing to have a woman trauma surgeon and a woman chairman of Head and Neck Surgery myself. And we're working together to really give the women in training a good foundation. So you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. Don't forget to find me doing amazing things on people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y on Instagram and my website. And check out my skincare line. And coming soon is Steven's skincare. Take care. Thanks again, bye. Steven. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. You're so welcome. Stay beautiful.